Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
It's Chris and, gosh, I just got to tell you, Lori Potocnik and Chris. Kelly is out sick today.
Okay. Well, welcome.
By the way, I never did ask this before. In Pensacola, you were aviation. Did we ever station in Pensacola?
Yeah, I sure was. January 1st, 1969 through, well, just, you know, whatever. Indoc Battalion, got my officer's bars, and then headed to Corpus Christi, Texas.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people go between San Diego, Norfolk, Pensacola, Corpus, Japan.
Yeah.
I figured you must have been here.
I need to go back and see the museum that wasn't there then.
Oh, it's amazing. It's actually the second largest attraction. It's one of the largest attractions in the state, but outside of the beach in general, it's the single largest attraction in the area.
Well, Pensacola Beach was just, you know, it's a fabulous place.
Yeah.
We would always, we had friends that, of course, the girls, the teachers would always have, in those days, they could get a place in the winter on the beach for hardly anything. And so we always had wonderful times. And then, you know, you head down the panhandle there, the beaches just were pristine and gorgeous.
Yeah, it's ruined my girls when they go to other parts of the U.S. and either other parts of the world, and we say, let's go to the beach, and they get there, and they're like, this isn't a beach.
It would ruin them forever. There's no beaches like beaches. There's not a beach anywhere in the world like those beaches that I've ever seen.
Yeah, we came close. We're in Mexico, and there's some pretty beaches and waters down there. But, yeah, we go to California pretty regularly, and they like it. They think it's beautiful, but they don't call it a beach.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we have beautiful beaches. I'm down the coast in Boca Grande, and it's, you know, we have beautiful beaches there. You can't, but it's not swimming beaches. They're okay. There's a pretty big drop off, and there's sharks, and it's. I mean, you got your share of hammerheads and everything there too, but it was a more gradual, as I remember, very gradual beach.
Yeah, yes.
And that makes it very safe for the kids and everything.
Yes. Great place to swim.
Yeah, well, let's get started. 302, bring me up to date on your week and how is everything going?
Well, it's going by quick, and we're slightly ahead on a couple things, slightly behind on the others. We have been handing out some mini-me files without a really comprehensive understanding of how all that will work out. But you know, we're comfortable in kind of explaining to people, and I've kind of focused, Rob, on the database. I've had more clients say, well, why do you want to know my cardiologist? And when I tell them about the enthusiastically endorsed database, they think that's a great idea. And I'm starting to hear a lot of names come back and forth. I mean, one of the ladies said, well, I love my dentist, and I said, well, who's your dentist? And so we wrote that down. And we're having good response. I think I had mentioned to you, and having some real progress with COIs, because not only are we just bringing in general COIs, but within the niche that I have, which is one of them is business transitions, I was meeting with a real estate attorney who had sent me a large check from an existing client, which prompted the first meeting. And then I told him kind of what we were doing and kind of our focus. And when I mentioned business transition, he said, oh, have you met so-and-so? And I said, no, I'm not even familiar with the name. He says, well, you need to meet him. Great guy, does a lot of business valuations and helps with buy-sell agreements and business transitions. So even my COIs are now leading us to other COIs.
Well, you know, where we're going to take that is to build a mastermind group around that. And that will be incredibly effective. So you take that guy, and he will know the best. I mean, you might too, but you guys need to have lunch and sit down and talk about building a mastermind group around transitions. So you want the best CPA for this, the best attorney, the best of everything. And then, my son sold his house, and they had a person come in and stage it, and a person take pictures. Well, you know, why wouldn't you do that same thing for a business, right? You stage
right.
the business.
Right.
So you have a stager. And there's also the issue of transitioning the owner, because they're not ready for this, and they could get squirrely on you. So there's consultants out there. The one in Indianapolis has two different consultants that they use for these business transitions because it's so traumatic for the owner.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
Well, and I, it's interesting because the one business owner, this is all kind of centered around because we're in the process of a client who's probably going to be selling the business next year or two. And so we've kind of gotten involved with the person doing the financing, the person doing the valuation, the estate attorneys. But as I'm talking to the estate attorney, who's a friend of mine, he said, I'm concerned about this owner. She works 7 days a week. And everything in her life, her husband passed away. Her son went to high school with me and actually passed away. This business has become her life. And so it's opened up the conversation with this lady and myself about, you know, what does it look like? What does retirement look like? What will you be doing? Because I don't think she's not worked for years and years.
Yeah, you got to really paint that picture and get it. And again, you may not even be, you know, equipped to do this work.
I mean, right.
I'm a pretty good life coach, and you probably are too. But it's really complicated for people. I mean, it gets psychologically a big. I mean, I'm coaching a guy right now who literally said to me, "I have no idea what I will do if and when I ever retire. I have no other interests."
Oh man, I could do it tomorrow. I'd be fine.
You know, that's explained by where you live, right? You're not in Chicago or something. Your lifestyle. Where you live, it creates a lifestyle opportunity that's like second to none. So that's wonderful.
I think somebody logged on while we were talking to Rob.
Yeah, I'm in here. I'm eavesdropping.
Hey, Paul.
Hey.
Hey. And I got the solution to help you retire sooner and make those dreams happen. Bitcoin.
What's that solution?
I am convinced that Bitcoin is going to go to at least $10 million for one coin.
Wow.
So all you got to do is buy one coin today. I know that's got to be true because I have a client that says he's done research on it. And all you got to do is just buy it. It's going to keep going up forever.
I don't know enough about Bitcoin. So actually that's one of the, you know, I have this, I have a lot of other interesting clients and more, some are in the advanced stages of this training. And one of the things that they talk about is give me some more ideas on what to talk about on these calls. And I said, you know, wealthy people are interested in the little things that make them feel smart. And they hate to be dumb about anything. And a lot of them are very fastidious. So they like things just so. And so a couple of the topics were credit cards. You know, are you using the right credit card? The other thing was health care, Medicare supplements. You know, do you use United Healthcare through AARP or is there another choice? And there's not many people with the answers to these things. And I wrote down Bitcoin as one of those topics of curiosity with very few people that know anything about it.
I can't decide whether to buy Bitcoin or tulips in Holland. I hear they're going to be the next big thing to own.
I had a friend of mine son-in-law worked for Bitcoin. And so he actually bought.
They actually have employees?
Yeah, they actually do, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting topics out there that people know nothing about that are worth exploring. But let's go back to the topic of using the Mini-Me folder to create the enthusiastically endorsed list and then building your centers of influence and then using that to develop, a folder for your centers of influence. I'm writing another book, and so I've been interviewing a lot of people on this subject. And I'll tell you what, most of these strategies that we recommend, I'm convinced they absolutely work. But it's just like Supernova. The majority of people do not want to, we talk about building a moat around your practice. Well, you can build a moat around your strategy. You can build a strategy like you're talking about, Chris, about business transitions, about clients that, you can help. 95% of the people out there will not be willing to put that much work into it in order to make it work.
Yep.
But if you are willing to do it, it will work like a charm. The key is, of course, having the right people in your group. And by the way, a commercial realtor is a great idea to add to that group because they know everything that's going on in the community.
Yeah.
But
here's a thought as I was going through this. Is the only people in our community, I shouldn't say the only, the majority of the people in our community, they're actively chasing after those COIs, are ones that are 1 or 2 years in the business that are trying to build their book. And they're the people that the COIs feel the least comfortable with. The ones who have developed a larger book of business have gotten comfortable in the residual nature of that business and working the existing book, and they're not chasing those COIs. So if you finally get somebody who's been in the business long enough, who the COIs feel comfortable with, actually chasing these COIs, it's really kind of started popping some doors open.
Well, the thing is, you're not going to need many, okay? I talk about having 6 centers of influence, all right? But the truth is, if you don't, in the end, you need a network. And that network is going to be the guys that – here's the way I package it. Because you guys have to – when you recommend somebody, you got to recommend 3 different people. So what you want to do is you want to have, like, say, a CPA. You want to have your CPA that's at bat, one that's on deck, and one that's in the dugout. So the one that's at bat, if he's not a part of your mastermind group, but he's just an individual CPA, you want to meet with him on a monthly basis. All right? The one that's on deck, you want to meet with him quarterly, but probably talk to him monthly. And the one that's in the dugout, you meet twice a year, and you talk to him quarterly. Okay?
All right.
So for each one of these guys, you've got one at bat, one on deck, and one in the dugout. So for your commercial realtor, you got one at bat, one on deck, and one in the and I would do that. Because you know how clients change, right? Your best client isn't the same one that was your best client years ago.
Right.
Some of them stay, but most of them, it just is the nature of our world. They die, the kids take the money, they leave, they do this, that. So it's not your fault. It's just that it is what it is. So you're constantly having to keep this thing fresh. But if you're willing to do that kind of work, I'm telling you, you're going to grow.
Yep.
You can bring in $100 million a year. Okay, and I'm not, and people say to me, what, I'm in Pensacola, I'm in, you know, Mobile, I'm in such and such, I'm in Indianapolis. And I said, do you have an airport? And they go, yeah, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you're going to get referred to people all over the country. I mean, and those people are, you know, they're happy to do business with you. You jump on a plane, you go see them, and you close them. So don't feel like, you know, my little world is not big enough for large numbers. It is.
Yep.
It's fine. So that's, see, this is the fun part of Supernova. Getting organized, you know, building your folders, doing the scheduler, getting right-sizing your practice, that's just hard work. But the fun part is once you get it right-sized, now you turn it into something really that will grow and will continue to grow. And that's, to me, the fun. That's the key.
Yep.
And so the two things that are the most important are these centers of influence and eventually your mastermind group. It'll probably take you a year to build a mastermind group. But that mastermind group will last the rest of your career. And it'll be something you're the most proud of because you're helping, you're going to help the most people with that. You're going to really be able to change their lives. And the one area that I'm most excited about is this area of business transition. And there's just nobody in your market willing to do the work that you are in order to make this effective and efficient for a client. I was just reading through an interview I did with a team in New York. And what they do is they scan the paper for people that are selling their businesses, and then they use LinkedIn to identify mutually beneficial or mutually accessible people that can introduce them. So that's how this all kind of, you know, you'll see how this ties together. People say, I don't want to use LinkedIn. I'm telling you, LinkedIn is like a dream come true for business people. It gives you access to names and people that you never would have. So you look up this guy on LinkedIn, and then you find out who he's associated with, who you might know, especially in a smaller town. And then you call that person that you know and ask them to introduce you. And they say, yeah, we'd love to because we know what wonderful work you do for people that are selling their businesses. So in the old days, we'd be, you know, money in transition. We'd just cold call the person. But today you can get an effective introduction through a person that you're networked with on LinkedIn. So it's it's a wonderful time to be in the business. But like you said, 90% of the people aren't awake, and they're not acquiring. They're very happy with their practice, and they're just asleep. And that's okay. You know, they don't want to grow. Who cares?
Yep.
So that's that. Anyway. This week, we talk about building the 24-month calendar. Let me just go through the list of things we want to cover today. Mini-me folders, the scheduling the centers of influence meetings, beginning building your 24-month calendar, training your clients and holding them accountable, training your clients and holding them accountable, scheduling issues, out of town, clients, missing appointments, emergency situations. So any of those that you guys want to talk about in particular, or is there, should I just kind of run through them?
Well, I mean, for me, when I saw the, and you mentioned this in the video, but the Lori and I were talking at the beginning, one of the things we noticed is we start putting schedules together, Monday afternoons, Wednesday afternoons, the only two afternoons I have on my ideal week, and they are filling the quickest. And Lori reminded me, well, the good news is we're starting from the top down, so the best clients are getting those afternoons. I envision as we call the last group of these people, that they may say, oh, you know, Friday afternoon's great for me, and we can say, great, but Friday's full, how's Tuesday morning? Trying to train them with just the schedule, I think, is going to be an issue that comes up. How do you deal with that?
I mean, I just had to do it, right? I went down to see my doctor this morning. I've got to see him in 4 weeks. And she came out and she said the only time available he has in the next, you know, 4 weeks from now is Monday the 28th. At 2 o'clock. And I said, hey, that'll work. I said, you know, and I didn't tell him I had you guys at 3, so I'm probably going to have to move that. But the reality is, he's such a busy doctor and he's such a good doctor. I want him. You know, I'm going to be going to Alaska and I need to have that appointment. So guess what? They're going to love the fact Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock is going to work great for them. Because they're going to realize how busy you are and how lucky they are to have you.
Yeah.
So that's your answer.
That's what Lori said.
That's part of this training your clients and holding them accountable. Holding them accountable to be there at the right time, you know, on time, ready for the call. So that's a training issue on your part. You got to train them. So out of town, so let's say you've got clients that you've got in Florida, but they spend half the year in Michigan or something. So you can either see them as soon as they get there and then just before they go home, which would be probably the smart thing to do. They're there for 6 months. Or you go and see them in Michigan. And if you're going to Michigan, you don't want to go see one client. You want to batch process them together so you can see them all. So, you know, whether you go to, you know, out to Arizona or you go to Michigan or you go to Maine or wherever you happen to have clients, you want to batch them together. And so when it comes to how does that work for the rest of the schedule? Well, here's what I would recommend. Let's say you have six clients you want to see, and they all happen to be in the Detroit area. I would go 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock. So then, when your rest of your for the rest of the year, they're always at 9, 12, and 3, 9, 12, and 3. So they'd be like the first Monday of the month and the second month and the first Tuesday of the month. And they'd be batched together. This particularly works for people coming from the north to the south. Got a bunch of, snowbirds. People, I'm sure, you have clients doing the opposite thing, going up north. So that's the way I recommend, so you don't make yourself crazy.
Well, I have a question on that. So I'm getting ready to go to North Carolina, and I land in Durham and then go to Charlotte and end up in Asheville and fly back. The travel alone, you know, just there's enough clients that it makes sense to do that trip. But I'm not as concerned about making sure their schedule right as the other calls that would normally have happened on that Monday and Tuesday. So I'm either debating between getting on the phone on the drives between those three cities, which are all 2 hours apart from each other, or doubling them up when I get back, or saying, hey, I'm going to be in North Carolina this next week visiting with some clients. Maybe just letting that month go until the next month. Again, it's kind of new to me, so I'm not sure how to work that.
Yeah, I would probably, it depends on how much prep work you need for each call. If you need your agenda in front of you and you've got to do a lot of prep work, then I would reschedule them. When you're in the training session, you're changing behavior here, right? Your clients don't know what to expect, so you're changing their behavior and your behavior. You want to believe that these calls are really important. So you don't want to cancel them unless you have to, but you also don't want to just wing it by being on the road. So if you can do an effective call on the road, you can pull over and look at your agenda and make an effective call, great. If you're going to be distracted and you can't concentrate, then I would reschedule. You clearly can't do a review, but you could do a three or four line appointment. The other thing is, like, when you're on vacation, you can make one of these calls an administrative call and have your assistant make the call. But it has an agenda and et cetera, et cetera. It's an appointment. But it's an administrative appointment to just make sure the statement's right, that they really understand how to get access to the Internet for their account, that they have the right Visa card, that they're using the ATM right, and so on.
Great.
Okay.
All right, I'm making notes.
Yeah, the use of your vacation time to still keep in touch with them is really, they're only going to, out of the 12 calls, you're probably only net going to be successful in 8 to 10. We hope there's 12, but it just doesn't happen that way because they're on vacation and they don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or they forget.
Or they forget, or, you know, something. But you want it to be really important. That's why we do the, that's why we do the folder. The mini me folder. It's why we send an agenda. That's why we can, you know, email confirmation or call and confirm. We want them to think this is really important because it is.
What?
I mean, here's the bottom line. I mean, I just had this testimonial from a guy that I've been. He's in his 6th month of, you know, he went through 12 weeks of coaching. He's in his 6th month now. So he's really getting this thing down cold. And I said, so, Bill, what do you think is, you know, what's your net benefit to you from doing Supernova? He said, oh, Rob, it's amazing. He said, first of all, when I go on vacation, I don't feel guilty that I haven't done my job. He said, I go on vacation, I really have virtually no guilt. Okay? So I know I'm calling every client every month. He said, my confidence is so much higher in my practice. I feel like I have a real brand now. He said, my business is so good. He said, I know it's going to begin, it's already paid off, but it's going to begin to pay off much more as I, you know, go into these calls because, you know, some of them are 6 months old now, and the relationships are getting much deeper and better. So I know the introductions are going to come. And he said, by the way, without really working any harder, I had my best month by a lot this past July. So he said it's just a combination of things, but probably the peace of mind and the fact that I'm not stressed when I go on vacation are some of the big payoffs. So it seems, you know, where you are now and where Chris is and where you are in this process, 6 weeks into it, it seems like, oh, for God's sakes, this is crazy. So many details and it's so complicated and so hard. The payoff is wonderful. you know, we talk teaming issues now, and, you know, how do you hire, train, where do you find the people? Just really interesting stuff now that, you know, we'll talk about as time goes on. But while we're dealing with the fundamentals here, we just have to deal with them. You know, they're just blocking and tackling.
Can you talk a little bit more about the Mini-Me folders, Rob?
Yeah. Mini-Me folders should be a vehicle to communicate with your client. And they should be a training tool for you. So in the first page of it should be like your team brochure. Should be, if you don't have a brochure, it should cover everything about your team, what you do, how you do it. But the most important thing is your phone number, a picture of your team, and your address. The last page is a page for their notes, for them to take notes. And you teach them, you know, how to take notes, like, just like you're taking notes now, right? They want to be taking notes when you're teaching them. And they want to be taking notes when they're in between calls, when they have a thought. They don't want to bother you. It's not a market issue. It's not in terms of a transaction, but it has to do with, you know, Kim Jong-il or some crazy thing, what's going to happen and what do you think and what's going on with Bitcoin or whatever. So they write that down and then you talk, right? They bring it up and you talk about it. So that's the last page. Next to the last page is the agenda. And I think we've talked about the agenda. The agenda basically comes from the financial plan, which is generated from their life issues, things that they need to do that they haven't done or probably should do. But you do the low-hanging fruit first, and then you do the harder things, the things that are, you know, more esoteric, long-term care, a disability, things like that, and issues that are important for them but not urgent. So the other pages are kind of up to you. Some people put in their presentation, whatever they're going to be presenting, meaning the account review might be in there. There might be information about the client. If you did a financial plan and you have the questionnaire, that questionnaire is very valuable because that's got all the stuff in it. So you might put that in there. I like the idea of having the list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in your community, which is I think we covered last week. That should be in there. You could give them the agenda of topics that you're going to discuss and have that be in there. So you give them that 24-month calendar so they're prepared ahead of time for what you're going to talk about. Some people give them their 12-month appointment schedule and put that in there. It is not for trust documents or financial plans or any of the bulky stuff. This is very thin, and it should be something that they carry to each appointment and have in front of them on the telephone.
So that brings up a question. In the file we got from your office, which was an example of a mini-me, the first page was their contact sheet, which we've included in some mini-me's. And, of course, the question comes up, why are you giving me my contact information?
I think that was probably their contact information. Was there other contact information in there of their enthusiastic source clients? Huh.
Yeah, the enthusiastic. So this is, I'm looking at the example that y'all sent, and the first page is the client's critical contacts, and then their enthusiastically endorsed providers. That's the first two pages.
Yeah, I mean, I give them the same information. I want them to have the same stuff that I have in terms of it's mostly stuff that you take out of a financial plan, the personal information about their kids and their everything about them, their interests, et cetera. I don't mind having them have that and me have that. I think we want to have it definitely, but if they have it, it's because they can look and say, oh, this needs to be updated.
That's the way we use it. We said we want you to see what we're gathering, so if there's anything wrong, you can change it, and you always have an idea of what we have, so if 6 months from now, if one of these things changes, you're aware of it as well.
And they say, you don't realize, you know, this is an interesting idea, by the way. This is very smart. I have a team up in Maine, and they're on not only on LinkedIn with their clients, but they're on Facebook. So,
I do that. I guess a wonderful idea. I mean, but the main reason I'm on Facebook is so I can keep up with what they're doing.
Right.
When they're on vacation. But particularly when their birthday is, you know, in case I forget, or maybe it happens on a weekend. And on a weekend I'm not in the office and I don't see it pop up on my computer. And so I can remember. But yeah, I think
that's
if
really
you're not
smart.
On Facebook with all your clients, you're missing out on a big deal.
That's a really smart thing because then you not only update that sheet with the name of the grandchild, but you've seen pictures of the grandchild, and then the first thing you do is comment. You know, I saw your grandchild, and they saw that you went fishing in Alaska, and so you have a great conversation. You don't have to start from zero. I mean, that's the fun thing about I have a friend, I haven't seen him, you know, I haven't played golf with him in 6 months, and we just went, we were both on Facebook, so we had a great conversation. I saw you went to such and such, and he saw that I went to such and such, and so it's fun. You know, I saw your picture of your new granddaughter. She's so cute. And so you feel like you're still in touch. And it's particularly important for you guys because, let's face it, you don't want to spend the first half an hour of a review getting caught up on all the details of their life. If you can, you know, if you can be caught up in 5 minutes, great. Then you can get into your stuff and you can be done in 40 minutes instead of 2 hours.
Or you find out when they're talking about posting pictures of a new house they're trying to buy.
Right.
Opportunity for a mortgage. I mean, everybody, I just can't imagine somebody that doesn't have all their clients on Facebook. It is a wealth of information.
That's brilliant of you. And I hadn't even, you know, here I am a coach, and I guess I intuitively encourage people to be on Facebook, but I didn't connect the dots between making sure that you have all your clients that are on Facebook as a friend, because that just makes all the sense in the world. So that's part of my new training. So way to go. You're way ahead. Chris, are you doing that?
Well, I'm way behind on the supernova, I will tell you that.
That's all right. Why is it?
I actually saw Alice today.
What?
I said something. I guess on Alice, I'm okay. I'm behind on one thing and ahead on another.
Right. Chris, are you using LinkedIn and Facebook?
I will use LinkedIn, but I kind of take the opposite view on Facebook. I draw such a fine line between personal and professional that I try not to let them blur. So if I'm there, I put enough stuff on Facebook that has to do with my kids and other hobbies that I'm in, things I do at the church that I I don't use my real name. It's another issue about it. But I kind of hold that part dear. I could create a second Facebook account that is more geared toward clients, but Yeah, and you can do a team page too, Lori was just saying. But I inherited a lot of clients that were used to getting in touch with a previous financial advisor 24/7 when they really didn't have 24/7 needs. So I've kind of shied away from being too public on the Facebook side.
Well, you know, I always tell people, sorry, you know, when you signed up for this job, you're a public figure. You're like the mayor.
Yeah.
You have no choice. My daughter's always, you know, being very careful on Facebook. I said, look, Courtney, you're a business person. You want jobs. You want this. You're trying to market yourself. You're trying to create a brand. Give it up. You gotta do it. And you just have to say, you know what? Don't call me on the weekends. and just have some discipline around the process. You won't get calls, by the way, with Supernova.
Well, and the issue was actually more over the, you know, times like the election, and all of a sudden you see all these people just going vitriol on Facebook, and I just kind of backed away from it. Said, I'm just going to let this happen without me. So, you know, I can definitely see how I could manage it in a much more appropriate way. I just haven't gone down that road yet.
Yeah, I would agree that the political stuff you got to stay away from, but I recommend also, not that this is about Facebook, but we do have a chapter on that. You want to publicize on Facebook your charitable inclinations. You know, whatever you're doing, you know, giving back to the community, that's the place for it. You can also do it on LinkedIn, but that's what your primary thing is on Facebook. And to me, then sharing some of your hobbies and your kids and stuff like that. But I'd like
to post on Facebook. I'm personally, the way I look at it, I don't ever post. I just keep up with what my clients are posting.
That's a good idea.
But anyway, we'll talk about that. That's a whole other topic. Any questions on the 24-month calendar?
I'm not familiar with that term. I apologize. Remind me what that is.
The 24-month calendar is the, you know, we do four portfolio reviews or four reviews of the financial plan. The question always comes up, what do I do with the other eight calls a year? And so we created, we did this initially in order to implement the financial plans. We created a batch processing process, and then we put it into not a 12-month calendar, but a 24-month calendar. And if you look on it, we have every new topic. We have eight new topics seven or eight new topics on that 24-month calendar. Some are repeats from that you repeat every year because they're like January would be full year outlook. February might be annuity review. March would be annuity review follow-up. So we give 2 months for each new topic that we introduce because there's going to be follow-up. Out of 100 clients that you talk to, you introduce mortgages, 10 of them are going to either want a mortgage, be interested in a mortgage, or refer you to somebody that needs a mortgage, like a child or somebody else. So you're going to have some work that comes from that work that you're, that introduction of that topic. So you want to make sure you give yourself time to follow up. April might be IRA contributions, Roth tax questions. May, we're introducing a new topic. We pick long-term care, and then long-term care follow-up with a mid-year review outlook for those people that don't need follow-up on long-term care. So on the second month, with some topics, you're going to need something to talk about if you're not following up on the first topic. So July was life insurance and then life insurance follow-up. September was mortgages, and then required minimum distribution was October and mortgage follow-up. November was tax selling, tax harvesting, RMDs. December was balancing gains and losses, RMD, rebalancing portfolios. So it's just an example. I mean, I have it in the workbook. it's an example, and then we do the next year and have, well, I give, because people were kept saying, well, can you send me a cop? Give me a sample of that. So there's your sample. And that really will keep your team organized. That's the vice president of implementation's job, to do that and build that calendar and to provide the training for the team and notifying the specialist and notifying the back office that you're going to be doing, you know, some business in that area. So it's a great way to stay organized, do more business, and educate your clients. So those are the big topics for the month, for this month, for this week. Continue to schedule your clients, get them in, give them out your mini-me folders. Start planning your topics. Build your own 24-month calendar. Meet with your centers of influence and build that process. So you want, even though you want your whole team marching, you know, everybody doing their respective jobs, while you, as the leader, make sure that everybody's doing their jobs. Now, one of the things that I did for another FA, he was completely transitioning his life, going from a stockbroker to being a financial advisor, and he needed stories about how to sell these topics, and so I actually did that for him, because I, you know, over the years I have a story for how to sell almost every product, and so I sent it to him, and that I have, if you're interested. If there's some product or service you don't know how to sell, or you're not comfortable selling, I did that for him. So it might be something that would be of interest.
Is it on the website?
Huh?
Is that on the website, Rob?
No, it's probably a good idea. You know, maybe I'll do that. That'd be better than me just having it here in my workbook.
I think we kind of know how to set up a lot of these topics, but seeing yours may stimulate some ideas that I haven't thought about, so I'd love to see it.
It's just a history of everybody that screwed up by not having long-term care or didn't have disability or didn't have this or that, or, you know, and why these things make sense. Now, not for everybody, but in the right case at the right time, you wish you had some of these things. So I've got a, you know, after this many years, I guess I got a story for every product. So anyway, I did that. Now, that's a good idea. I'll post that. It's a good idea. Cindy's always looking for topics for me to post on the website, so I'll post all those. That's great.
Cool.
Good idea. Anything else?
Probably a dozen, but nothing I can think about right now.
All right, so I am going to have to move, unfortunately, 28. That wasn't just a story. That was a real life story.
Well, it's interesting because the trip I'm taking to Raleigh, Charlotte, and Asheville is the 28th.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah,
so maybe
so,
that's not a bad thing. Are you going to be – I'm heading for Alaska to do some fly fishing on the 29th, and so – but this was the only time my doctor could see me, which is at 2 o'clock. So I can either do it in the morning, which would be lovely, or we could postpone it for a week.
Well, for me, if you did any time on the 20th, it would just be Lori and Kelly on the call. So I would be a fan of postponing it.
Paul, how about you?
I'm good with postponing it. Give us a chance to catch up.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, this is a fire hose. It's not easy. I know that. You gotta. It's like getting your CFP and your SEMA all at the same time. It's hard. You're making more changes in your practice than you've done in the last whatever, 10 years, 20 years. So it's something. You know, it's a big deal.
Yeah, you need to change that one line on one of your videos. You said, here's the secret to Supernova. It's a lot of hard work. I said, he needs to change that marketing line. That doesn't really sell well.
The truth is often helpful. It's simple, but not easy. And when you've done it, you built a moat. You really have. You built a moat around your practice because nobody... Seriously, nobody's willing to do this much work. You guys, a tip of the hat to you. People are not willing to work this hard. They just aren't. It's easier to be in chaos. It sucks, but it's easier. It isn't really. I mean, it's like, you know, I was talking about these people in Boca Grande where I live. I study them because they're interesting. They're very successful. And a lot of them came from nothing. And it seems like the one thing that they all have in common is that their garages are spotless. They're fastidious as hell. It's so interesting. And I was talking to this FA, and he said, yep, he said, you could eat off my garage. And I said, well, you know, it's funny because you know, I know some billionaires that inherited their money. They could care less about their garage. But the people that made it themselves, they're very particular about how their place looks. Mm-hmm. And they love Supernova because it's organized.
Yeah.
I mean, you will have a very organized business. And so your wealthy clients will probably admire it and like it a lot. So anyway, think about this as your best organized garage.
Like it.
All right.
If I keep my daughters from dropping their bikes in my practice, I'll be fine.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Enjoy the trip fishing to Alaska.
Yeah. Well, I think we got one more week, and then we.
Oh yeah. All right, guys. Good meeting.
Take care.
Actually, 2 more weeks. Yeah. We'll have plenty of time.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.